Genesis 22. Genesis 22, a well-known passage and a passage that points us to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and the willingness of the Father to give of His Son in order that we might be saved. Genesis 22, the first 19 verses. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Well, as we come this evening to the Lord's Supper, there's a lot that could be said from Genesis 22 that relates to this meal. There's a lot of covenant theology, a lot of detail given to us, a lot of the picture of redemption. And this evening, though, we want to focus our attention in particular on the willingness of the Father, the role of the Father in providing salvation for us. Because it's easy for us many times to think about the role of Jesus Christ, and of course of his agony as he faced death on the cross, as he went through the separation from the Father. But sometimes it's easy for us to think of the role of the Father in a non-sympathetic light, that the Father was somehow cruel and inhuman in his treatment of the Son. And in fact, one of the things that Genesis 22 points out to us is the torque that the Father would have felt on himself, on his relationship with the Son, as he willingly gave up his Son in order that we might be saved. And we get here a picture of just a small picture of some of the scale of the love that the Father has for us as he willingly offered up his Son in order that we might be saved. And so praise God that we have a God, a Father, who would willingly give of his Son in order that we might be saved. God has willingly given his son for you. And one of the ways in which we see that in the early part of this passage is by seeing the relationship that the Father has with the Son. And as the story is played out, it's easy to imagine, we'll talk a little bit more about the timeline in a moment, but it's easy to imagine that Isaac might be roughly middle school age as this account takes place. And it might be, at first glance, we might think, well, this would be an easy thing for Abraham to do. Perhaps he was annoyed this particular day with Isaac, and it would not be so difficult to sacrifice his son. But God takes great pains, of course, in the second verse to make it clear that that is not what is going on in this account. As God calls Abraham to take now your son. And there's an ownership there, right? There's a personal relationship. Your son. And if that's not enough, your only son. The only son whom you and Sarah have had. And not only your only son, but your son Isaac, whom you love. And so God speaks three times there to make sure that we get the relationship, that we understand the closeness of this relationship, and that it is a relationship of love and not a relationship of annoyance or of dislike of Abraham saying, boy, I'm so burdened by this son. It'd be nice to not have an extra mouth to feed or something like this. No, Abraham understands that my future and the covenant future of God's people is wrapped up in this son. This is the son whom God has promised to me. And Abraham is, of course, doing this, being past 100 years old. You can turn back to the previous chapter, 21, verse 5. And we know that when Isaac was born, Abraham was 100 years old. And you can turn back even before that to chapter 12, verse 4. And you know that it was that Abraham was 75 years old when God promised him this son. Now, these are not the prime childbearing, child-rearing years of life. And yet God had promised Abraham that he'd give him a son. Abraham had waited these 25 years for a son, 25 years to in fact be given a son. And God had made promises, and God had now fulfilled that promise to Abraham to give him a son. But yet as God calls him here in verse 2 to give your only son, Abraham's not in a position where he can be really optimistic that, well, if I do have to offer my son as a burnt offering, don't worry, it'll be easy enough for Sarah to have another son. Abraham knows that that is not likely. Another son is very doubtful, in fact. And so it's a picture, as God calls Abraham to give his son Isaac, it's a picture of the Lord himself. And as John 3:16 describes for us, that God gave his one and only son, the son whom he loved, the son who he had, who was his one son. And so recognize, as we think about God's willingness, his willingness to provide a sacrifice, for our sins, that the Father's love for the Son is stretched, in fact. His relationship with the Son is, in fact, stretched by this. And this is a foundational gospel truth, is it not? That God loved us, God loved you enough that he would send his Son, not a disliked Son, but his one and only Son, the Son whom he loved. So there's a genuine sacrifice on the part of the Father as we contemplate his relationship with the Son. And the Father was willing to disrupt this relationship. He was willing to disrupt this love in order that you might be saved. But that's not the end, of course, of the demonstration in this passage of the willingness of the Father. Because we also see Abraham making a request of his son. See, not only is there a relationship, but there's also a request made. And one indication to us, actually, that Abraham and Isaac had a close relationship, that they had a loving relationship, is in fact the trust that Isaac had in his father. Isaac, however old he is, and the passage does not tell us explicitly, however old he was, he is old enough to be the one to carry the wood. We see this in verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Isaac is old enough, and Abraham's old enough, that the logical thing to do is that Isaac carries the heavy part of the load while Abraham carries the lighter part of the load. Now, how much wood does it take to offer a burnt offering? I don't think most of us have a lot of experience with this. But it takes a decent amount of wood, obviously, to make a fire, and a fire that would be able to consume a son. And so arguably, once again, Isaac is roughly middle school age at least, if not older. So what does that mean? Well, it means, as we see in the passage, verse 7, that Isaac is not only old enough to carry wood for several miles uphill, but Isaac is also, verse 7, old enough to have a logical mind. Dad, there's a problem here. I have the wood on my back. I'm carrying this load that you've given me. You've got the fire that we brought from home with us. You have the knife, but there's something missing. I've been with you before, Dad, when you've done burnt offerings. Does this make sense at all? So Isaac is old enough to put two and two together. He's old enough to ask some questions. And he's also, verses 9 and 10, we see that there's enough of a trust that he's seemingly old enough to obey, old enough to submit to the will of his father. Even if, let's say he was 12 and Abraham is 112, arguably he can get away if he wants to. He's faster than his dad by this point in time, arguably. He can get away, and yet there's a willingness to obey. And it points to the fact that there is a trusting relationship here, that Isaac trusts his father, and that as his father makes this request, as his father passes on to him, this is what the Lord's called me to, that Isaac is willing to submit to that will of the Lord given to him and commanded to him by his father. And Abraham, therefore, has to test the bounds of his relationship with Isaac. But we see that there's a strong relationship there if his son trusts him enough to do this. And of course, that's just pointing forward to the fact that the Father himself, God the Father, not Abraham the Father, that God the Father would request of his son the price of his life. And that the father would, and that the request that the father gave to his son would require of the son trust in the father, a willingness to obey, a willingness to submit his will, to bend his will to that of his father. And the father, in addition to being willing to sacrifice, to test his relationship with his son, was willing to request of his son that his son give his life on the cross for us. And so we see actually the father having to be willing, the father's willingness, both to sacrifice the relationship and also to make a request of his son, a request that would test the very bounds of their friendship, the very bounds of their trust, the faith required of Jesus Christ as he laid down his life to trust his father. So we see a loving relationship put to the test, and we see a request made of the Son that is quite demanding. But we also see the Father's willingness here to pay a great price, the required price for you and me to be saved. You have to wonder, as the passage begins, Abraham hears this voice of the Lord, that by this point in his life and his experience is a very familiar voice, Abraham. And he knows, here I am. But then as God communicates the message in verse 2, the message of take now your son and offer him in the land of Moriah as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. You have to wonder what Abraham thought that day as the Lord communicated this to him. Think of, well, I know, if one of you came to me and said, Pastor, I was spending time with the Lord this morning and I got a message that I'm supposed to offer my child as a burnt offering, I would say that's some sort of demonic voice. You know, that is not a voice from the Lord. That does not line up with God's word. Now, of course, Abraham does not have a canon. He doesn't have books of the Bible. But he knows the voice of the Lord well enough. He's communed with God enough that he knows this is the voice of the Lord. That he knows that he must obey, that he must trust this voice of his father. And so Abraham is not confused here by where the voice comes from. He's also not confused by what the voice of the Lord is asking of him. Take your son, take your only son, the son whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering. Abraham's not confused as he ponders in his heart, and in the unspoken, right, in verses 2 and 3, as he ponders what the Lord's actually asking of him. In a similar way, God the Father was not at all confused as he pondered the price that would be required for you and me to be saved. God's not going through a state of confusion when he thinks about and sees down the corridor of time and says, if people are going to be saved, there's one way for this to take place. There's one way, and that way is for me to give of my son. Abraham knew the price, and how much better the father knew the price. Abraham knew the price well enough that he knew as he left home, in fact, even before he left home, he knew he had to split wood. He knew he had to take along a knife. He knew he had to take along fire. He knew what was going on. And even when Isaac asks his question in verse 7, my father, he says, here I am, my son. Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Abraham knew the price. He knew the lamb that he had been called to sacrifice. And yet he also knows by faith that God is trustworthy. Verse 8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went on together. God will provide the lamb. You wonder if this is one of the passages perhaps that Christ had in his mind as he cried out to his father in the garden, oh, my father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If maybe God, maybe Father, maybe there will be a ram off in the thicket as I go to Calvary. Maybe there's another way than me having to lay down my life. But God the Father and, of course, God the Son knew the required price in order for redemption to take place. And God the Father, knowing that price, nevertheless loves you and me enough to pay that price. There is not a ram in the thicket, of course, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ laying down his life. And God took his loved one. He took the one who trusted in him fully, the one who had complete and perfect faith in him, and he sacrifices him in order that we might be saved. And what Abraham foresaw is, of course, the reality of what Christ did. Abraham foresaw that the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide a sacrifice for his people. And now you and I have the privilege of looking back and saying the Lord has provided. The Lord has said he will provide, and he has indeed paid what he said he would pay. He's given of his own son for us. And as we come to the Lord's Supper tonight, brothers and sisters, we come proclaiming not only that the Lord will provide, but we come proclaiming as we eat of this meal that the Lord has provided for us. And that he's provided, as Hebrews 12 says, he's provided for us blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel, the blood of the Old Testament sacrifices. That the blood of Christ speaks of better things and ushers in a better covenant, because it's blood that only has to be offered once for all time. And so this promise that God will provide has in fact been fulfilled, and it also is being fulfilled. Scripture promises us that the Lord is able to save to the uttermost those who come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only is it talking in broad terms about our salvation, but it's also, of course, the truth that Paul refers to in Romans 8 when he tells us that he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? That if God is willing, if the Father is willing to pay the price of his one and only Son, how will he not also, along with him, provide for us all that we need for life and godliness? How will he not also, along with Christ, sustain us in our daily needs, sustain us in our hour-by-hour spiritual needs as well? And so as we come to the Lord's Supper, the Lord calls us and invites us once again to remember the sacrifice that he, the Father, has made on our behalf, his fulfillment of his promise that he will provide, and that he has provided that sacrifice and the sacrificing of his Son's body and blood for us. And may we always remember that in this sacrificial death, not only did the Lord Jesus Christ lay down his life and suffer, but that the Father too laid his relationship with the Son open. He gave of his Son, and he bound his Son, as it were, on the altar, on the cross of Calvary, in order that we might be saved. And in him, the righteous requirement for our salvation is met. In his body, in his blood, and through his work, we are healed. Praise God for his sacrifice on our behalf. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank you so much that you, the perfect Father, who enjoyed an eternal and perfect relationship with your Son, that you allowed that relationship to be disrupted in order that you might have a relationship with us, in order that we might be changed and transformed from being rebels who were far from you, who hated you, in order that you might transform us from rebellion into your adopted sons and daughters. And we thank you that you have made us your children through the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you for being willing to submit to the will of the Father in order that we might be saved. And God, we come this evening proclaiming and resting in the privileges that are ours through the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. By his stripes, we are healed. And we thank you for your work. Feed us now as we come to your table, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 103.